Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Go to John chapter 8. John and chapter 8. You can tell I'm not going to spend much time in this passage, all right? John and chapter 8. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Lifted up the Son of Man. That's talking about Calvary. When Jesus was suspended between heaven and earth, that speaks to the resurrection. That speaks to the church of Jesus Christ, exalting Christ. That speaks of the kingdom age when Jesus will sit upon the throne of David. Verse 29 says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. He said, you will know I am God. And you'll know the truth. And Jesus said, I'm the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's Jesus. And he said, the truth shall set you free. Key word, free. Verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free. These people are so proud. They think their religion's going to get them to heaven. They think, and they don't recognize, they don't even know their own history. They were enslaved. Remember Egypt? Remember being delivered from the land of Egypt? But he said, man, we're Jews. We've never had chains on us. What in the world are you talking about? Verse 33 says, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. And we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be free? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Ours is a forever sonship, a forever family. We are not just hired servants. Man, we're joint heirs with Jesus. Man, it's hard not to preach passages that are flying through my mind right now. Let's start with prayer. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. I pray, Jesus, that you would help me to communicate. I need anointing for that. Lord, that the word of God, the truths of God's word would be communicated. Lord, help me not to go run off on rabbit trails. God in heaven, help me to be concise and clear and not muddy up the waters at all. And I pray anybody unsaved would hear that Jesus saves and receive you as their Savior. And everybody, anybody that is born again, God, would you challenge us to do more and be more involved with the liberty, with the freedom that you have provided for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the history of nations, our nation is unique. Our nation has been given liberties that came at a very high sacrifice of tears, of toil, and even bloodshed. Patrick Henry, March the 23rd, 1775, concluded his famous speech before the Virginia Assembly with the words, give me liberty or give me death. And it did. It encouraged the colonists. It became the war cry of the Revolutionary War. Patrick Henry, on his deathbed, rose up and said it, stated it again. He said, lest anybody misunderstand, give me liberty or give me death. Liberty is the keystone of our American dream. We have been given by God freedoms that other nations have never known. I would say second only to Israel in its zenith and Israel in the future. America, designed by God, filled a purpose, fulfilled a purpose at propagating the world with the gospel. We were endowed by our Creator with great spiritual freedom. The Continental Congress adopted what we call the Declaration of Independence, July the 4th, 1776. On August the 2nd of that same year, 1776, 56 patriots signed their name to that document to be sent to the King of England. Five of those men were captured and shot as traitors. 12 of them had their home and everything they owned burned to the ground. 9 fought in different militias of the colonies and died. There were attorneys, preachers, merchants, and farmers. There were not wild-eyed revolutionaries. The majority of them were well-educated and successful. And they signed this document and pledged their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor for the cause of freedom. John Hancock signed his name especially large and especially fancy so that the King of England, when he read the document, would remember the name John Hancock. Liberty. We have it here in America for a while. We as American patriots need to stand up for God, because that's what liberty is all about, while we have opportunity. The Greek word for liberty in the Word of God is eleutheros. It literally means freedom. It speaks to, in ancient times, in Bible times, of a slave being set free. John chapter 8 and verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Inscribed on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty unto all the land and unto all the inhabitants thereof. We're to preach the gospel. Because of the liberty and the freedom we have in America, I can bear arms. In fact, I'm a born-again Baptist, and I have several. It's more than just one. But I can bear arms, and I have that right. Because of the freedoms we have in America, I can raise my family as I see fit. Because of the freedoms we have in America, I can worship my God. I can fly my flag. I can go to parades. I can celebrate our Independence Day with fireworks because of our freedom. I can picnic with my family because of my freedom. I can choose the job that I have because of my freedom. I can preach the Word of God, the whole counsel of God, because of my freedom. Now, a little time out there real quick. This week, our governor signed House Bill 4474, HB 4474, that now makes anybody using a pronoun that the hearer doesn't like guilty of a felony, a criminal charge, punished. I told you this was coming a couple weeks ago. Punishable with 5 years in prison or a $10,000 fine. I'm going to need some of your money before we're done. If what I preached last week, it's law. It is now law while we are asleep. Too much of America. We have been this way for too long. And freedom is the call. There's a lot I want to preach, but I'm not going to go in that direction here this morning. Let it be known. Let me just kind of put this in real quick. And I know this isn't, we're not on TV. You know, well, yeah, kind of we are, live stream. But I mean, yeah, and a lot of people watch it. But we got to float again in the 4th of July parade, Independence Day parade. Last year, we had like 100 t-shirts, and we had a little over 100 people with that float, people walking all around. We got a nice float, all kinds of banners that are carried and show all of our ministries professionally done and everything. And the people on the float, they just kind of sang and smiled and waved at people. Didn't sing as a choir, just sang choruses and that kind of thing. And we walked up and down that parade route, and we handed out thousands of. And people that go to parades, I want to encourage you to be there. Plant your flag for the Lord Jesus Christ and for freedom. I guarantee you, the alphabet people are going to be there with their float. You know, we as a people, we have been quiet too long. And if we'd just be out there and be, man, if we were a couple hundred strong, wouldn't that send a message? We won the flow print thing last year. You know that, don't you? But and it was in the paper this last week. Somebody sent me the text. Unfortunately, they said it was St. Mary's. They didn't mention Fundamental Baptist Church. But it was us. Jesus saves on the side and all the red shirts and so on and so forth. If you can come out, you say, oh, that's not my thing. Shame on you. Now, I know you might be tired. Old people even come. They sit on the float. I might be there before the it's a long parade route. Thank God it's downhill all the way. Thank the Lord for that. But just come and get on the float. You say, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. Just smile. Just smile. Somebody's going to see you and they'll identify you with this church and identify this church with Jesus Christ. And who knows what will come. But don't be ashamed of Jesus. Man, don't do that. Say, I'm a man. I'll tell you what, we had a bunch of men there last year, didn't we? And I walked shoulder to shoulder with you guys and I was proud of that. I was. Let's not blush at the name of Jesus. Okay, enough said about that, all right? Let's take our Bibles, if we could, real quickly and turn to Romans in chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6. We're going to start with verse 1. I'm going to work through some of this. And I'm asking God just to kind of do great things here in our midst and what time is left. I got a simple 3-point outline. It's all in this passage. We're not going to have to go anywhere else. And I just pray that I have the unction of the Holy Spirit. Father, we come to you this morning. And again, I ask that you'd help this preacher. I'm just a sinner. I've got some notes scribbled here, and I've got my King James Bible in front of me, and I want to ring the bell. God, I want to have the power of God upon this message. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would just work in all of our hearts and do a great work right here in our midst. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in right now the greatest nation on earth. But America right now is in bondage. It is. Man, we are going like a speeding locomotive headed towards the bridge, and the bridge is out, and much of the church is asleep, and a lot of people just think, oh, this is the way it's always been, and it is not the way it's always been. You know it, I know it. We live in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm a patriot. I love America. I got red, white, and blue flowing through my veins, every artery, every vein. Man, I'm that John Wayne kind of Christian, and I'm American. I love America, but I also understand this generation, I weep when I think of what they think America is. And we have so left the Word of God. Man, I preached that last week. I know that. There are entire churches, and nobody carries their Bible to church. And nobody knows their Bible like the generation in front of them. And that is, and the church is being lulled to sleep. One day soon, Jesus is coming. And those that are born again are going to be raptured off of this earth. Man, the freedoms that we have been given these freedoms for the propagation of the gospel. That is what Scripture teaches. Number one, I am free. You get born again, I am free from sin. I know I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. Nobody sins, nobody becomes sinless when they get born again. I taught that in Sunday school this morning. We still have this body of sin. Nobody is sinless, but when you do get born again, you sin less because the Holy Spirit lives within you. And you're convicted when you do wrong. You're convicted when you sin. Verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul just got through covering this for the believers there in Rome. He said, now listen, we're saved by grace. We're saved because of the imputed righteousness of Christ. That's Paul's words. In other words, the righteousness that is put upon us by Jesus. It's all of his mercy. It's all of his grace. And so do we have a license to sin? He answers that question. He said, what shall we continue in sin that grace much may abound? Because he says, where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. What he's saying is, grace is more powerful than sin. The grace and the mercy of God is bigger than my personal sin. So does that give me a license to sin? Paul said, God forbid. That's the strongest words he could use here in the Bible. God forbid. Be it far from us. Never. Never, never would that be the truth. So we don't have a license to sin as Christians. You get born again, you're saved by grace. Now it's our responsibility to surrender to God the Holy Spirit and make Jesus our Lord every day that we live. You can't just laugh off sin and say, I'm going to enjoy this sow my oats while I'm young. I'm going to enjoy this right now while the sun is shining. Later on, I'll confess my sin. Boy, is that wrong-headed. And boy, is that dangerous. He says here in verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Why would a sinner set free run back to the chains of sin? Why would a man delivered from the muck and the miry clay, the vomit of this world, the sewage of this world, after it gets all cleaned up, run back to it? That makes no sense. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, don't misread that. The word baptized, simply a Greek word, means to immerse. It's baptizo. He's not talking about water baptism, which is a picture of this. But he's not talking about water washing away sin. When a man or woman or child receives Jesus as their Savior, they are baptized by the Holy Spirit. They're baptized into the family of God. That's big doctrine. All over the outside of me, I'm immersed in God the Holy Spirit. He comes and he dwells within. I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And then he seals me. I'm his forever. Paul identifies that in many passages of Scripture. But he said, listen, anybody that gets saved is immersed into Jesus Christ, and it says, and immersed into his death. That's Calvary. Therefore, we are buried with him by immersion into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We're spiritually alive. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Here is the conflict. Here is the conundrum. Paul identifies it. He says, we're born again, but we still have these mortal bodies. We're immersed into the family of God. We're immersed by the Holy Spirit, and our name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, but we still live in these old fallen nature bodies, and I still have that old nature. He said, now that we're spiritually alive, we have got to reckon the flesh dead, knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. See, where's Paul going with this? He is encouraging the believers not to just give up and commit sin. He's telling the believers, we are saved by grace and saved forever, but that is not a license to sin. There'll be chastisement from God above for every son and every daughter that chooses the path of sin. The way of the transgressor is hard. It'll be a rugged, bruised up, bloody, defeated life. But if you surrender to God, you can get on the victory side. Let me read a few more verses. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Man, I love it. Skip on down to verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin has no power. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I don't have to sell my soul to alcohol. I don't have to dull my body with wacky tobacco. I don't care if it's legal or not. In my day, we call those people stoners for a reason. And I'm told it's stronger now. You go ahead and destroy those brain cells, and you men, you destroy that testosterone that's in your body. You go ahead, you're dulling your life, you're dulling your senses. Man, I don't have to go there. And maybe I was there before I got born again. After I get born again, man, sin no more hath dominion over you, the scripture says. Take your Bibles, go back to Romans in chapter 7. Romans in chapter 7. I don't have to have an uncontrolled spirit as a child of God. I don't have to give in to my temper and my flesh. Oh, everybody in my family, that's the Irish in me. That must be the case. Everybody's Irish, I guess. That's what it is. That is the biggest excuse I've ever heard in my life. Man, you name the nationality. They've all got tempers. We're all sons of Adam. You know, it's just a matter of whether you're mature or not. Whether you're able to control, or whether you've surrendered to God, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit controls us. Number one, I'm saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Number two, I'm surrendered. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then I'm infilled. Ephesians 5, 18. Be ye filled with the Spirit. That's what we need to do as a child of God. It really is that simple. Romans 7. Let me turn over there now. Romans in chapter 7 and verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. That's the problem. Sold under sin. That's the problem. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Man, that'll make you frustrated. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He says, man, I want to do right. It's a struggle. It's a conundrum. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. You understand, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. This is his testimony. This is the greatest Christian that ever lived. Now, if I do that what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. You understand, if you step away from the Bible, if you put your Bible down, if you stop attending church, If you close the door to your prayer closet, if you have no personal time with God, you're just going to do the natural thing, and that is sin. That's the law of carnality. That's who we are without Christ. He says, for the good that I would not, but the evil which I would not, that do I. Verse 20 says, again, let me read this again. Now, if I do that what I would not, it is no more I that do it. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You can almost hear the frustration in Paul's prayer here as he stands before God. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm such a wretch. I'm a lowlife. I've dishonored you again. Look at that last verse. He says, who can deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. That's it. That's all of our testimony. Unless you're sitting here and you're thinking somebody else down the pew, man, there's a holy man, there's a righteous man. You understand we're all wretches. Yes, that's right. Thank God I am free. Amen. Free from this world of sin. Thanks to the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out that he showed us the way. He gave it to us. He provided the gospel. Talk about freedom in America. I'm free from sin. I'm free from the power of sin. I'm free from the penalty of sin. And one day I'll be free from the presence of sin. That day's coming. Man, that's the message I should have preached this morning. Go back to Romans in chapter 8 one more time. Oh, go to chapter 6. Let's just go back there. I'll shorten this up. Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. I'm also free from death and hell. The hounds of hell are nipping at our heels. There's so many that are slipping away from us at breakneck speed. You're looking at a man right now that is not afraid of death. I'm not a super Christian. That's not like I always reflect Jesus and I always walk with God the way, but I'm not afraid of it. I've been to the river's edge with so many of my brothers and sisters as they passed on to eternity. Death has no sting for the child of God. Oh, death, where is thy victory? The Apostle Paul said, I do not fear death. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Look what it says here, Romans in chapter 6 and verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion or power over him. As a child of God, we could go to Romans 8. We don't have time to turn there this morning. And there's no reason to fear death. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When that day comes, God is going to give dying grace. I'm confident of that. I've seen that again and again and again. I've been at the bedside. I've been right up to the edge of the river. I know I've had brothers in the Lord from this congregation say, you tell everybody at home, everything's fine. Everything is good. And he wink at me. Man, I have been there. For the child of God, death is sweet. No power. No power over the child of God. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's do look at that one. And verse 55. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55. I got to start wrapping this up already. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I have the freedom to do right. Boy, I wanted to take you through Romans in chapter 8. I get to serve God. You are looking at it wrongly when you're saying, well, now I'm born again. I can live like the world over here. I can look like the world over there. I can run with this worldly crowd over here, and I'm still a child of God. Well, you might not be a child of God. If there's no conviction in your life, I'm telling you that's evidence you're not born again. But when you do wrong, it grips your heart. Man, it's like it's driven a wedge between you and your God above, because you're not la, 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 Pollyanna, and everything's fine. I'm okay. You're okay. You know what the Word of God says? Man, that's an indicator you're born again. As a child of God, we are free from the power of sin. As a child of God, we're free from the power of death and hell. No second death. We're part of that first resurrection. And as a child of God, we are free. Think about this. To serve God. I'm a sinner. How can I serve God? I'm given that freedom in the righteousness of Christ. Freedom. Oh, I love that word. Free. No chains. Dumb, like a kingdom. Freedom. The realm of the blessed. The realm of people that happily get to serve God. I love that word. As a church, as a family, we get to serve God. It's great to be free. Amen. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. It's a choice. He said, you give me liberty or you give me death. And what are you saying? It's either liberty or I die for the cause. Some of our forefathers were great men and women that stood for truth. And if you know U.S. history, you can trace it. And you may not read about it in a lot of secular history books, but it is a fact. Freedom. Wonderful word. Sounds good. It feels good. No wonder so many of our forefathers gave up everything they had to get to this country. No wonder so many of our forefathers laid down their lives to keep that freedom for the people they loved back home. Let me tell you this morning. Freedom is available in Jesus. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There are people here in the auditorium watching by way of live stream, listening to a radio broadcast, and you're enslaved in the chains of sin. And all you know is darkness spiritually. And you get up every morning and you're fearful. You go to bed at night before you close your eyes and drift off into sleep. You try to numb yourself with other thoughts or with music or watching a television program or maybe even alcohol, some kind of artificial stimulant or a drug. And you're afraid to face reality. I want you to know there is one that has come from heaven down to this earth that has provided complete freedom for every sinner who'll come to him. And you can be born into that family this morning. You can be set free. You can be set free from the chains of sin and death and hell. Give me liberty or give me death. We have that choice. God gives us that choice as well. It's either the liberty that we have in Christ or it's eternal death in hell.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.